Of the story of the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving, but there may be some things you don't know, but certainly they were thankful before they ever got here. That's why they were being persecuted in England. And the pilgrims were from England, and 390 years ago they sailed from England and landed in Massachusetts. Right in a place where many Indians had died of a very serious disease. They believe it's caused by animal urine now is the latest theory of that particular disease. They used to think it was smallpox or something else. And someone said that that was one of the greatest providential events from Columbus discovering America to the independence of America for this country was that they landed right where they wouldn't get wiped out by the Indians. Massasoited. Slaughtered a whole boatload of people who had Squanto with them earlier and was very capable of doing that to them. But God provided for that start for these folks in a new land. And they were a people who believed the Bible, took the Bible very, very seriously. And so seriously, they were willing to suffer. They were originally called Brownist, and Brown said that he'd been in prison 55 times. 55 times. And there was great suffering. A third of the ministers in England lost their pulpits. Some churches hadn't heard a sermon for 13 years. And all because the Church of England was forcing people to use what they called the prayer book and the act of uniformity. If you don't worship our way, you're illegal. And very serious persecution was going on there. The first offense was loss of income for a year for a pastor. The second was imprisonment for 6 months. Second offense brought permanent loss of income. And third offense and imprisonment for 1 year. Third offense resulted in imprisonment for life. So the authorities that be were putting serious pressure on God's people to conform to a certain way of worship. And one-third of London's clergy were suspended for their refusal to submit to that kind of arrogance. And so that kind of persecution was going on. And it didn't exterminate the faith of these folks. And what an amazing group it was. And it was for that freedom to give thanks as God would lead them according to the Bible that they left England. And so very important for us to know the background of all of that. And it's interesting, they tried to go to the Netherlands first and they were actually there, but they were concerned that their children were learning Dutch ways. And it's so amazing to me, the typical American wants his children to be socialized and they're fearing they won't get that, which is a real need. But the Puritans had a deeper concern. They wanted their children to know God and worship him. And they were willing to cross an ocean with their kids where there weren't any restaurants, no hospitals, no buildings, so that their children, it was one of their main motives, so that their children could be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and get a good start in knowing God. They risk everything on that. And half of them died the first year, you know that. There were only four women, adult women, to cook the first Thanksgiving left. There were more Indians. There were 90. There were 90 Wampanoag Indians that were invited. There were more Indians at the first Thanksgiving than pilgrims. There were 102 when they left, and 45 died that first year, and all the suffering they had. They were thanking God they were still alive. But how did God bless them? Everybody despised them. The established churches despised them. People looked down on them. But they were people who took the Bible seriously, and God blessed them. God blessed them for that. And may we be those kind of people. May we not be those that care to be accepted by the world or even the so-called church. May we be those that are willing to suffer reproach for Christ and desire to serve Him. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated in what's now known as Plymouth, Massachusetts, and they named it Plymouth because they left from England. There was a town by the name of Plymouth that they left from, and they named the new place Plymouth. That happens a lot in America, doesn't it? The names of cities are taken from a place in the other country people came from. The menu was ducks, geese, turkeys, although that's debated, but I think it's true. Clams, eel, fish, wild plums, cornbread, and they cooked on outdoor fires and they ate outside on tables. And we're not going to eat outside today for the Chinese. We're going to eat inside. We're not going to cook outside. We've already cooked inside. But I want to thank the ladies that cook. Ling Ling's mom cooked a lot. Ling Ling cooked a lot. Linda cooked a lot. Others cooked stuff. So we had more than four, I think, involved. So I think we'll do fine this morning. But how important it is for us to know the background of this stuff, because 20 years after the Pilgrims landed, there were 8 towns and 2,500 people in Massachusetts. And the Pilgrims and the Puritans linked arms to begin something really good. Now, they weren't perfect people. Paul said, when I do good, evil's present with me. And that's true of every Christian that's ever lived, every church that's ever been started. But I thank God for the example that they have given us. Real Christians are thankful people. Their response to God's work at the cross of Calvary is faith in Christ, and as a result of that, thanks living. The Christian life is not about trying to earn our salvation or keep our salvation by being good or doing religious things. It's a life of thanks. It's thanks living in response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, dying for our sins and rising again. And of course, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. The psalmist said, I'll sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. And he said another place, come and hear all you that fear God, and I'll declare what he's done for my soul. And in the New Testament, we have the same emphasis. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving is all over the place. In Romans 14, 6, Paul illustrates how all Christians can differ and at the same time agree. In that time, they differed on what to eat. And he said, he that eats to the Lord, he gives thanks. He that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives thanks. So they might differ on some things, but they agree the Lord should get the thanks from our lips and our lives. Turn with me, and if you have a Bible with you, open it to the book of Colossians. I chose Colossians because it's the smallest church in the New Testament that we know about, in a little town in the middle of Turkey. And yet Paul wrote to it. He considered it important even though it was small. And the little pilgrim church was small. But in that, God was starting some great things. Yes? All of them. Actually, no, you're right. That's a good question to ask. It's just in this, there's four times in this little book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul instructs us on our responsibility to give thanks. It's those four I want to look at real quick here today. And they're scattered throughout the book. In fact, there's one in each chapter. So Alan asked a good question, but I can't answer it because we're going to be everywhere. Many people this weekend are flying. My daughter is flying in to here from New York, and my son is flying in here from California tomorrow because our family celebrates on Saturday together. In fact, there's 3.4 million people in America flying today. The airports are busy. That's the busiest time for airports. And you know, if you remember the last time you were on an airplane, they always give you those pre-flight instructions, right? The pre-flight instructions. And the stewardess goes through, and they go through in the case of emergency, right? When the mask goes down, they show you how to put it on your face. And then they tell you where the exit doors are and all that. But they also give you instructions for not in a case of emergency. They don't put it that way, but just for being in the airplane. You've got the non-smoking, you've got, make sure your seat belt's on and all that stuff. Now, what Paul is saying is not emergency. What Paul is saying in Colossians is not, this is what you do when you're in trouble. This is what you do on special occasions. What Paul's instructions here is every day, every moment of your life, this is to characterize you. It's like that non-emergency airplane instruction, right? You're to keep the seatbelt on unless the seatbelt light's off. And then, you know, there's certain things you are to do during the whole flight. And this is the way Christians are to live their whole lives. Not just on a special day, but every day of their lives. And the four instructions he gives us are to be true of us every day. I believe they were true of the Puritans. And I hope they're true about us. Now, the Puritans would probably criticize us a little bit today because they didn't believe in carpet in churches. They thought that was too worldly. They didn't even believe in heating the churches. They thought that was too worldly. That smacked to them of the grandeur of the Church of England, and they wanted things very humble, very simple. And I agree with them on that, but I can't quite go that far with them. But today as we gather, I think we can join with them in this. We need to be a thankful people. And so in Colossians 1 and verse 12 is the first one. Colossians 1 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul, writing to this little church, says this: giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, how did he do that? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So God has done something for me. He's given me redemption. That's a deliverance by paying a price. I'm forgiven, and now I'm fit, where before I was totally unfit to dwell with the saints in light. And boy, ought I thank God for that. Somebody might say today, my life's been kind of hard. I don't know if it's as hard as the pilgrims had it. One piece of corn a day for all winter. You have to live on that. First Thanksgiving, they put a plate with one piece of corn on it because they remembered what it was like the year before. I don't know if your life's been that hard. The reason there wasn't so many women left was because they gave their food to their kids. They were a thankful people. They didn't let their problems drown out their thanksgiving, because they knew God had dealt with the biggest problem, which is the sin problem. And they were thankful. There's a context to this exhortation. It goes back to verse 9 of Colossians. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, to all pleasing, being fruitful to every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. And then he says, giving thanks. You see, it's the people who are in that cycle of growth and maturity and intimacy with God they're thankful people. Other people just remain their old unthankful self. So that's the first one, an incredible thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for forgiveness. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. He does it again. In verse 6 and 7, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he mentions our responsibility to be thankful again. And he says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. You see, it's the people that know Jesus and they know who he is and what he's done that are thankful. Because once you know that, there's a thankfulness that wells up in your life that wasn't there before. And that's what he's taught. Stay with Jesus. Stay with the cross. Stay with the God in heaven that became a man. As you've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught. And then he says, abounding with thanksgiving. And that abounding with thanksgiving is just like a fire hose of thanksgiving just gushing from our lives. So that's the context and that's the thought. It should be one of the most obvious things of our lives as Christians. I'm thankful. Thankful person. And so again, he takes it back to Jesus and the cross, doesn't he? And if people are just thankful for the potatoes and the turkey, they don't get there, do they? That's a truncated Thanksgiving. They're just thankful for family and friends and job and a nice house over their head. They haven't even come close to Thanksgiving as the pilgrims knew it. There's a lot of people in America that have no use for the Bible anymore. They have no use for Jesus. They don't take those things seriously. But they'll eat the turkey and they might even say a prayer of thanks, but nothing like what Paul's talking about here. Nothing like what the pilgrims knew. Turn back to Colossians 3 and verse 16. Well, wait, before you do that, go to Colossians 2 as he goes on. Well, no, we don't have time for that. I wish I did. Colossians 3, 16. And this is a great text. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is a prerequisite. This is a precondition for being thankful. If you don't have God's word and you're not instructed in God's truth and you're filled with man's wisdom but not God's revelation, you're not going to be thankful. And to God. And so, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, it's the people that have God's word dwelling in them. It's the people that are doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus that are very conscious of who He is, what he has done, they can fulfill what he's talking about, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So there certainly is this dimension, isn't there, of Christ and the cross and redemption and salvation and the doctrines that people have overthrown. The original Pilgrim Church went liberal and denied the truths that the Pilgrims stood for. And you remember, I've told you this story many times. Some of the people were left and they got out and they said, and they lost their church building even. They said, they kept the building, but we've kept the faith. And the father of a great missionary was the pastor of that church, Adoniram Judson. So, very important, isn't it, to keep the faith. Some people are more concerned with keeping the building They're impressed with buildings and prominence and social prestige, and they won't bear the reproach. And so they keep society's favor, but they don't lose God's favor, and they don't keep the faith. Colossians chapter 4, the last one. Colossians chapter 4 in verse 2. Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It's a praying people that are a thankful people. Paul, David said, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice. It's a praying people that are a thankful people because it's a praying people that are interacting with God and seeing God work in their lives. God's not just a concept to them philosophically or theologically, but a living reality and a living relationship. And so, continuing in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving is the double responsibility Paul ends this with. Oh, that men would thank the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the sons of men. The psalmist says in Psalm 107 four times. And God certainly is good. Well, may the Lord give you grace today to be thankful. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not yet a Christian. This is a little foreign to you. This is a little strange to you. Well, a lot of the original people at the first Thanksgiving meal were not Christians. Those Indians weren't. And some of the people that came over on the Mayflower weren't. There were the pilgrims they didn't call themselves pilgrims, they called themselves saints. And the others that were with them that weren't of their group were called strangers. Miles Standish was one of those. He's the one that led the men. And sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. It's a good thing he was along, I'll tell you, but in some ways, but he did some things that were not so good. But so not everybody there knew the Lord. But and maybe there's people here who are not yet Christians, and or you're not a Christian at all, and you don't know anything about the Christian faith. Boy, we're thrilled you're here. We're thrilled you're here. And we hope that the idea of Christians giving thanks and the concept of the history of thanksgiving and what God did through those folks. And I know the pilgrims have been, there's a lot of mythology in America that exaggerates what happened there and all of that. But I want to tell you something really good did happen. It wasn't perfect, because there's nothing perfect in a fallen world, but something really good happened. And God started in a new place, and people had freedom to worship Him, and that was a good thing. Harvard University came about by the Pilgrims and Puritans uniting, and the best universities in our country were all started, every one of the Ivy League schools, except one, to train ministers to preach the Bible. Now, they've repudiated that heritage, but it's a heritage that it is there. Unbelief is parasitical. It always lives off what Christians start. But having said that, good things happen when God's people are thankful. If you're not yet a Christian, God loves you. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. That's the best news you can ever hear in this life. May you put your faith in the Lord, and may you become a thankful person to Him for that. And that'll result in thanksgiving in many, many other areas of life. Father, we thank You today for who You are. We thank You for what You've done in Christ Jesus. Bless us as we gather today. Guide and direct our thoughts as we celebrate today. In Jesus' name, amen.